But today we're talking about another concept, and a concept that we're kind of familiar with, and it's the concept of pastors. So let me ask a question. I want you to give me feedback. What comes to mind when you hear the word pastor or minister? Just you can give me feedback. Just what comes to mind? If you are viewing online, you can drop it in the chat. What comes to mind when you hear the word pastor?
Speaker.
Okay, someone who speaks. So what else?
Teacher.
Okay, what else?
Shepherd.
All right.
Leader.
What'd you say? Okay. All right, I'll give you some money afterwards, all right? Okay, all right. So what else comes to mind when you think of the word pastor? What's that?
Overseer.
Okay, very good.
Chosen.
Okay, all right, very good. Okay, those are some concepts that that come to mind. And so we're gonna actually go a little bit further and hopefully disrupt some of the things you think about what a pastor is and maybe what a pastor does. And so let's talk about what a pastor is not first, before we talk about what a pastor is. Okay, so a pastor is not someone who has all the answers. Now there are pastors who have answers, but the pastor doesn't have all the answers. Now, sometimes you may think that the pastor has all the answers, but sometimes the pastor is looking for answers as well. All right? Here's another thing that a pastor is not. A pastor is not someone who must have a degree. They have degrees. And I think that's a good thing, because you want someone leading and teaching that knows what they're talking about. But again, not all pastors have to have degrees. Now, you might think that a pastor is someone who must be ordained, but a pastor is not someone who has to be ordained. And what we mean by ordained is where the leaders of the church or elders of the church or other pastors lay hands on a pastor, saying that this pastor or this person is ready to lead a particular congregation. But again, pastors don't necessarily have to be ordained. Now, a pastor does is not someone who is a therapist. In fact, pastors need therapists. I'm going to tell you that. We need therapists. So a pastor is not someone who is necessarily a therapist. Now, a pastor does give counsel, does help a person through difficult times or marital situations or even financial situations, but a pastor is not necessarily a therapist. Pastor is not necessarily someone who speaks from a platform like this on a regular basis, even though you see pastors on a stage or a platform speaking and teaching, but a pastor does not necessarily speak from a platform. We can go down the list. We can work the room and say a pastor is not this and not that and not that. The question is, what then is a pastor? So what I want to do is give you kind of a survey of what the scriptures say about pastors. And I want to equip you, and I want to disrupt your thinking and my thinking of what a pastor is and what a pastor does. I want to actually provide you with tools equipping you to say, whoa, wait a minute, I never thought about pastoring that way before. I want to do that because that's what the Bible calls me to do, to equip you to actually do the work of ministry. So what in fact is a pastor? The Hebrew word and concept For pastor actually meant and means shepherd or keeper of sheep. That's the concept of pastor. So great flocks of sheep had to be moved from place to place, finding food, finding shelter, finding green meadows, and a shepherd, keeper of sheep, was the one to actually do that. They were to lead individual sheep or groups of herds of sheep from place to place, finding food, guarding them from wild animals and robbers. In fact, the word shepherd itself is translated many times in Scripture as feeding. So a shepherd, one of the main responsibilities of a shepherd was feeding the sheep, was finding a place where the sheep could actually graze and find food. Now, sheep is mentioned in the Scripture more than any other livestock in the Bible. This indicates their economic importance in Scripture, because they were a source of food, they were a source of wool, and a source of hide. Now again, with the primary responsibilities of leading and protecting their flock, the occupation of shepherd actually naturally lent itself to being a symbol of respectability and leadership. So again, when we talk about shepherds, we're talking about a keeper of sheep, and individuals who moved sheep from one place to another, finding food. And as they were finding food, they were designed to protect and lead the sheep. They had to be vigilant because it was very, very because that was their economy. Again, due to the economic importance of sheep, shepherds literally had to be on guard all the time. And they dealt with inclement weather, and they dealt with substandard lodging, and they dealt with threats from animals and other robbers or individuals who wanted to steal their sheep. So they had to be on point. They actually had to keep their eyes open. They had to stay up at night and watch the sheep. They had to know their sheep by name, because if a sheep ever strayed, they needed to go after that particular sheep. Shepherds, keeper of sheep, they were important, and the sheep were important, and because the economy of the shepherd depended on it. Now we see the first shepherd in Scripture in Genesis chapter 4, verse 2. Adam and Eve had two sons, Cain and Abel, at least at the beginning. And the Bible says that Abel was the first shepherd. Check it out. It says, again and again, she bore his brother Abel. Now Abel was a keeper of sheep. In other words, the Hebrew is, he was a shepherd. And Cain, a worker of the ground, he was a farmer. Now again, there was a bit of a difference, because Cain actually grew stuff, cultivated stuff, and Abel actually shepherded livestock, whether it was sheep or goat. So Abel was the first keeper of the sheep, and he represents a long line of shepherds: Abraham and Jacob and Rachel and even David. And shepherds were viewed with great respect and responsibility. But something happened to actually nosedive the favor of shepherds. So as cultivation, that is cultivating the land of crops, increased, shepherds actually fell out of favor. And so shepherding was not necessarily given to men and women of respectability. Shepherding was given to little boys like David. We see David was keeping the sheep while his brothers went off to war. They were given to, the responsibility of shepherding were given to slaves and other people who needed jobs. So kind of shepherds fell out of favor. And we see this kind of when the Israelites were, they were in Egypt, and in the time of Joseph, when Joseph finally comes back to rescue his family, and they want to have a place in the land right outside of Egypt. This is what the text says. It says, this is Genesis chapter 46, verses 33 and 34. When Pharaoh calls you, this is Joseph speaking. When Pharaoh calls you and says, what is your occupation? You shall say, your servants have been keepers of livestock from our youth even until now, both we and our fathers, in order that you may dwell in the land of Goshen. So this is what you're to tell Pharaoh. For every shepherd is an abomination to the Egyptians. In other words, Joseph was telling his family and his brothers, this is what you need to say, because Pharaoh and the Egyptians, they hate shepherds. So they kind of fell out of favor with, people because they, cultivation of the land was more lucrative at the time. Okay, so not only do shepherds and pastors describe keeper of sheep, there was also another designation for the word. So here's the second one. The word pastor or shepherd describes leader or ruler or king. Leader, ruler, or king. So the word shepherd actually came to be understood as a king or a leader, God's king, God's leader, leading his people. Listen to the text. In time, this is 2 Samuel, and this is David talking. In times past, when Saul was king over us, actually these are some of the leaders talking in time, they're talking about David and to David. In times past, when Saul was king over us, it was you who led out and brought in Israel. In other words, Saul was, yes, he had the name as king, but David was the one really leading. And the Lord said to you, you shall shepherd, there's the word, my people Israel, and you shall be prince over Israel. So just like a shepherd leads a flock of sheep, God says, I am placing the responsibility in the hands of kings and leaders and rulers to shepherd my people like a shepherd shepherds the sheep or lead the sheep. And so the king's responsibility was to care for the people. The king's responsibility was to move people from where they were to where God wanted them to be. The king's responsibility was to teach the people what God wanted them to know. The responsibility of a king was to discern the will of God and to give that will to the people of God. The people of God, they were under a theocracy. God was their leader, and God selected kings to lead the people and shepherd the people. And so when we look at the word shepherd, it's not only a keeper of the sheep, but it's also a king, a leader, a ruler that actually leads and moves the people to where God wants them to be. Okay, so we see that like a shepherd, kings, God's appointed kings, like David, would lead people, provide for them, care for them, lead them with justice and discernment and righteousness. And so we have a keeper of sheep, we have kings and rulers. But there's also another designation that the word shepherd or pastor describes God. Describes God. Listen to the text. You know the beginning of the text. We're not going to read the entire thing. This is Psalm 23, verse 1. It says, "The Lord is my," everybody say it together. Shepherd. "The Lord is my shepherd," and let's say it the rest of it together. I. So just like a shepherd was to move people, move sheep to fine green pastures, and just like a king was to lead the people to care for them, discern God's will for them, God says, hey, I am the ultimate shepherd. I care for my sheep. And let me put a pin right here that God wants to be your shepherd, that God wants to supply the needs that you have. God wants to give your soul rest today. That God wants to protect you from enemies. That God is the ultimate shepherd. And I love this imagery of God, that he moves us from place to place. He walks us through the valley of the shadow of death. And he said, I will be with you. I am the God in the fire with you. And so God is a shepherd. He moves his people to places of abundance of supply. His supply is so abundant that God's people will not want for anything. God, the shepherd, will give his people rest. And he will lead us beside peaceful streams. He renews our strength. He guides us along the right path. He walks with us through dark valleys. He protects and comforts. He even prepares a table in the presence of our enemies. This is the kind of shepherd we have. Even goodness and mercy will follow us all the days of our lives. Now, the interesting thing is that the kings were supposed to model the imagery, or the kings were supposed to model the attributes of God, the shepherd. They were supposed to actually care for people and love people and walk with people and fight for people and live according to justice and discern God's will for the people. But the kings and leaders that God placed over Israel, they cared for themselves more than they cared for the sheep. They built their own houses versus caring for the people that they were leading. They loved themselves more than they loved the sheep. When a person walked away from God, the kings and the leaders didn't care anything about them. They just let them stray, and they let the wolves and the other leaders who were teaching false teaching to get them. And so God has a scathing opinion of the shepherds that were supposed to lead his people. So we have a picture of this in Jeremiah chapter 23 and Ezekiel chapter 34. I'm not going to give you the entire chapter. I'm just give you a snippet from those chapters. It's not going to be in the notes. It's not going to be in the notes and on the screen, but I want to at least share. This is what Jeremiah 23:1 says. What sorrow awaits the leaders of my people, the shepherds of my sheep, for they have destroyed and scattered the very ones they were expected to care for, says the Lord. That's Jeremiah 23:1. Listen to this. This is in your notes. The Bible is so relevant. For the shepherds are stupid and do not inquire of the Lord. And because the shepherds are senseless and stupid, and because they have not asked God, where do you want me to lead your people? Therefore, they have not prospered. And all their flock is scattered. Here's another passage from Ezekiel 34, just a sampling. Then this message came to me from the Lord. Son of man, prophesy against the shepherds, leaders, kings, and all religious leaders during this time, the leaders of Israel, give them this message from the sovereign Lord. What sorrow awaits you shepherds who feed yourselves instead of your flocks? Shouldn't shepherds feed the sheep? You drink the milk, wear the wool, and butcher the best animals, but you let your flock starve. You have not taken care of the weak. You have not tended the sick or bound up the injured. You have not gone looking for those who have wandered away and are lost. So God is saying to Ezekiel and Jeremiah to talk to the leaders of Israel, you're not good shepherds. You're not good leaders. You're letting the people go. You're feeding yourselves as opposed to feeding and tending to the flock. I'm going to put a pin here. And because I know that there are people who are listening to me, whether online or in the building. You are here today and you carry shepherd wounds. And you carry church wounds. Some shepherd has wounded you and hurt you and said something or made a promise and not kept that promise. Or maybe a shepherd has used you in some way and you were excited about your relationship with God and all of a sudden some shepherd, some leader impacted your life in a negative way. And I want to stand here today and say on behalf of shepherds everywhere, I'm sorry. I'm sorry that you had to endure a selfish shepherd. I am sorry that you had to endure leaders who wounded you and hurt you and caused pain in your family and in your life and in your marriage and in your child's life. I am sorry. There are men and women who have led negatively and had a negative impact, whether it's abuse, whether it's church abuse or sexual abuse. Listen, I just want you to know that that is not the way God intended shepherds to lead. That is not the way God intended leaders to lead. And some of you right now, you're here and you have found a modicum of healing here at Trinity because the place you left, it was toxic. It was hurtful. And I'm not here to lambast any church or any leader or any other person. I am just simply here to say these shepherds that God has a scathing critique of, those same kind of shepherds exist today. And I don't want you to have, I don't want you to misread God's heart based on ungodly shepherds. God is the ultimate model of what it means to shepherd. And not every shepherd is perfect. And I stand on this platform as someone who is not perfect. But I want you to know that we have people surrounding us as leaders to help us be the best possible leaders and shepherds as we possibly can. Trying to teach this book and not just teach it, but live this book. And so God has a scathing report and he says, then he begins to cast vision for the kinds of shepherds that will lead and lead well. Listen to what it says. And I will give you shepherds after my own heart who will feed you with knowledge and understanding. So God begins to cast vision for what shepherds would look like. Shepherds that were different from the shepherds that we just described in Jeremiah and Ezekiel. And then in Ezekiel, he actually begins to give us a picture of the ultimate shepherd. Listen to what it says. And I will set up over them one shepherd, my servant David, and he shall feed them. He shall feed them and be their shepherd. And I, the Lord, will be their God, and my servant David shall be prince among them. I am the Lord. I have spoken. Now, what he's talking about here is someone from the lineage of David will be the ultimate shepherd over God's people. And the ultimate person that he's talking about is Messiah. The ultimate shepherd does come on the scene. And that takes us to the New Testament, which is another word that describes a pastor, which is Jesus himself. Listen to what Jesus says. I am, everybody say it together, the what? And I want you to think about Good Shepherd in contrast to the shepherds we just described in Ezekiel and Jeremiah. Those were bad shepherds. And Jesus is saying, I am the good shepherd. And listen to what this good shepherd says. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The other shepherds, they were feeding themselves. This shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He who is a hired hand and not a shepherd, who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees. And the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep. I know my own, and my own know me. So Jesus, the Messiah, is the good shepherd. He is not senseless. He is wise. He is not selfish, he is sacrificing. This good shepherd protects, and this good shepherd takes time to know the sheep, and ultimately this shepherd lays down his life. But I want to give you another designation. The word pastor describes a gift to the church. Listen to the text. And he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds and teachers, that's probably one gift, to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ until we all attain to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. So here we have one of the many gifts given to the church so that the church might grow. So guess what? There are people who are sitting in this room right now. You have been gifted as a pastor. Whoa, wait a minute. Whoa. Yes, you've been gifted. Now you say, well, you mean to tell me I have to stand up here? No, that's not what we're talking about. Just like shepherds cared for sheep, there are some of you who have a pastoral gift to care for others, to love others, to teach others, to lead others. God has given you that gift. And you might not have known that you have it. Now we're gonna talk about that in the fall in terms of how you can know what your gift is, but it's been a gift given to the church so that the church might grow into full maturity. So Trinity doesn't just have one pastor. Trinity, I believe, has many pastors, many shepherds. We'll talk about that. I didn't just mess up somebody's mind right there. I messed up somebody's mind that God may have given you the gift of pastoring. It literally means shepherding. Means shepherding as leading and guiding others along the way. That's a new concept for individuals here. And then lastly, the concept of pastoring actually describes every follower of Jesus. Not just special gifts, but there are certain aspects of pastoring that every follower of Jesus actually uses. Listen to what the text says. And I want to give you a few things. But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into light. That word priesthood means that as a follower of Jesus, you can go to God for yourself. You don't need me. You don't need an in-between. Not only does it mean that, it also means that God has endowed every single follower of Jesus to help build up the body of Jesus using the gifts and abilities that we have, using some of the elements of what a pastor is and what a pastor does. Now, let me give you very quickly some of the things that a pastor does. Pastors, number one, feed God's people. Pastors feed God's people. Now, what I mean by that, they feed them God's word. Mark chapter 6, verse 34 says, when he went ashore and saw a great crowd, this is Jesus, and he had compassion on them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. And check this out, he began to teach them many things. So part of what it means to shepherd people is to actually feed them God's word, to give God's word. Now, I want to say this, that part of my responsibility is to give you God's word, but it's not a one-sided relationship. I give you God's word. You should receive God's word. I'm not the only one who teaches you. I'm giving it, but you have to stay awake long enough to receive it. I give it, and you actually have to say, oh, how can I invest this in my life and implement this in my life? So there are a lot of people in the church today. I am not being fed. And I would dare say the pastors could say, I know a lot of people who are not obeying God's word. Or I know a lot of people who ain't eating God's word. So there's a symbiotic relationship. There's a feeding and receiving. Feeding and receiving. And so that's what a pastor does. Here's a second thing a pastor does. A pastor cares for God's people. Pastor cares for God's people. Pay careful attention to yourselves and to all the flock in which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers to care for the church of God, which he obtained with his own blood. So part of the pastor's responsibility is to care for physically, emotionally, and spiritually. Part of my responsibility is to care for you, but part of my responsibility is to equip you to care for the entire body of Jesus. So that's the second. Here's a third thing that a pastor does. A pastor protect God's people. Protect God's people. We talked about that already. Said, this is what the text says. I know after my departure, this is Paul talking in Acts, after my departure, fierce wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock, and from among your own selves will arise men speaking twisted things to draw away the disciples after them. Therefore, be alert, remembering that for 3 years I did not cease night or day to admonish every one of you. So pastors protect. So not only do pastors protect, but pastors equip. We've already gone over that passage in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 11 and 12. Pastors not only equip, but pastors also model. Model Christ-likeness. And listen to what the text says. So I exhort the elders among you as a fellow elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, as well as a partaker in the glory that is going to be revealed. Shepherd the flock of God that is among you, exercising oversight, not under compulsion, but willingly, as God would have you. Not for shameful gain, but eagerly. Not domineering over those in your charge, but being examples to the flock. So part of my responsibility, part of a shepherd's responsibility, is to model Christ-like behavior. It's to equip, it's to protect, to feed, to care. So does the church have a gift of shepherding? Absolutely. But when you look at the description of what a pastor does and who a pastor is, this goes beyond just a gift. Guess what? Every single person in this room, you can actually teach someone the word of God. Everyone in this room, you can actually write a card to care for another person. You can actually protect another person in the flock of God. You can actually model Christ-like behavior in the body of Jesus. Whoa, wait a minute. You mean to tell me that a pastor is not just someone with a collar who stands on a stage and teaches the Bible? A pastor is sitting in the concept of it, is sitting in the second row. A pastor is sitting in the last row. A pastor is sitting in the middle row. A pastor can shepherd and lead and care for. You are a pastor. You are a shepherd. You are a leader of God's people, not just one pastor who stands on a platform, but you are pastors in your family. You are pastors in your neighborhood. You are pastors among the people at work. Guess what? We don't have just one pastor. Trinity has hundreds of pastors. And right now, today, you are being deputized not just to sit, but to shepherd the people of God. You're being deputized not just to be a spectator, but to say, whoa, wait a minute, God has given me abilities to care for. God has given me the ability to protect. God has given me the ability to feed other believers the word of God. God has given me the ability to disciple others. That is, can you imagine hundreds of people at Trinity Church being pastors? I wouldn't have a job. And guess what? I am trying to teach my way, equip my way, protect my way out of a job. Whoa, wait a minute. Whoa, what are you leaving? No. I'm doing my job. My job is to equip hundreds, if not thousands of people to do what we do. When the church does that, watch out. When the church releases people to do what we're talking about, watch out. So I think pastors are not someone with a collar, someone who bows their head and prays all the time, not some holy man that someone is trying to touch, not someone who carries a Bible in a certain way and speaks a certain kind of language. I think pastors look like this. Nope, not him. I think pastors could look like this. That if you're a child here today, you can actually do what shepherds do to your friends. Teach them the word of God, protect them, care for them, love them, and model Christ-like behavior to them. I think pastors look like this. Everyday people. Construction workers, doctors, architects, accountants, librarians, professors. I think pastors look like you. I think that if we can ever, ever, ever grasp this concept, there would be, number one, this place would not be able to hold the people that come. And then secondly, there would be churches literally all over Lansing. There would be ministries popping up literally everywhere. Because I'm not waiting for a certain person to do it. God has actually invested in me. So today, I know that was a long time to get to where I wanted to go right there. But today I officially deputize you as pastors of the Church of Jesus Christ. You mean talking about ordained way? No, I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about the activities of a shepherd. So this week, ask God to help you shepherd the people in your life. Care for them, protect them, model Christ-like behavior before them. Ask God to give you the strength, the power to be a pastor. Shepherd the people that God has placed in your life. Let me pray for us. God, thank you for your grace and your mercy. Thank you for calling a lot of pastors, a lot of shepherds, not just one. And I pray that even as we go now, you would release us to do the work of pastors. We hear about someone in the hospital, not gonna call the church, we're just gonna go and we're gonna visit with that person. We hear about someone being sick, we're just gonna simply write a card. Give a call. If we need someone, if we hear about someone just simply needing to understand God's word better, if we don't understand it, we'll grab somebody else for us to understand it together. If we hear about something that just doesn't sound right, we're going to help try to protect the heart and mind of those you've placed in our care, our children, our spouses. So thank you. Thank you for the gift of pastors that we see in Ephesians, but also thank you for the activities of the pastors that we can all engage in. Thank you for this church with hundreds of pastors. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. Have a great, great weekend, and we'll see the rest of the weekend, and we'll see you next week.